Williamstown, Kentucky. So you tell your parents about that, and they just finished it up this year, and I believe this is the first year. I'll let Noah sit here for a little bit. I read something I got to share with you. This is just kind of a fun thing. But everything I needed to know about life, I learned from Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. And, you know, we plug that into our Christian lives. It's important, you know. Don't miss out on what God has to give for us. Number two, remember that we're all in the same boat. Okay? There was nowhere else to go. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah started building. Four, stay fit. Because when you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Can you imagine? He started building that when he was 400. I don't know about my calculations. I'm a minister, not a mathematician. But something like 480 years old. And people lived a long time back then. We think for a number of different reasons. One reason is there weren't all the sicknesses around them that there are now. Every year we come up with something new, right? Another strain of flu or this or that. And they didn't have all that stuff to contend with. Another real reason, and I think this is a good reason, they transmitted what God said to them down through word of mouth. Did you know that Abraham, where'd he come from? Noah was the son of a guy by name of Lamech. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. And Methuselah was actually alive when Adam died. Did you realize that? And so Adam maybe told Methuselah about the creation, what God had all done, what had transpired and so forth. And if I were to start a rumor here, and I would say it to Julian, it would go all the right way around, and then the last person would repeat it, probably be totally different than what I said. If there's just two or three transmissions of that, it might be pretty accurate in the same way, very possibly. Well, anyway, stay fit. Next one. Don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that God has given you to do. I would venture a guess that Noah had a ton and a half of critics. I could just imagine CNN or somebody nowadays picking all kinds of faults with his construction and whatnot. Number six, build your future on high ground. Seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails made it on the ark right next to the cheetahs. You know, so that doesn't matter. When you're stressed, number nine, float a while. Not sure what that means. They had about a year to float. And number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. We won't go into that too much. And number 11, no matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. This is absolutely something to behold. The ark, just a few words about, well, let's start with the world. Things had taken a disastrous turn, huge turn. This isn't that long after creation. Adam was still marching around when Methuselah was alive, who was the grandfather of Noah. So we're not talking about a great deal of time, in quotes, you know, when you live 969 years, you know, stuff like this can happen. Noah was a 10th generation from Adam. 10 generations. Wow. A little more than 40, 50 years or so, or, you know, we lived 60, 80 years, but they lived a long time back then. In any case, things had taken a huge turn downwards. And what we read about a few moments ago basically says the Sethites, and those were the good children of Adam and Eve. Remember, they had a son, Seth. They had two more sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And Cain's descendants were kind of like Cain was. They had their mind on something other than what God had his mind on. And the sons of Seth started marrying the women of Cain. There was a real intermingling going on, and all of a sudden the whole world, whew, was going down the toilet, so to speak, in violence and crime and corruption and you name it, it was taking place. And interesting question, does God ever change his mind? In the catechism it says God's changeless, right? Well, to a certain degree, that's true. In another degree, it isn't. Because he relents that he created man. Can you believe that? And those words were just read to us. He regretted ever creating mankind. So things were going downhill. Word or two, and that, by the way, this brought about the flood. That's why God sent the flood. Cut and dried, real simple. Moses puts it in one passage, in one verse, it's done. Because of all of the corruption, violence, etc., I'm going to send a flood, God says. And wow, when he says something, we better pay attention because he's talking, you know, he's serious about it. Word or two about the ark. It's incredible. I don't know, I got it from very accurate eyes. Just kidding. Our elder on duty, I cornered him. I bet when he came to church, he never thought this was going to be in the offing. But I told him to estimate for me the length of this building, where we're sitting right now, the gymnasium. And what did you say? It was about 60 feet from wall to stage. I don't know, maybe there's another 15. Let's just say all the way through to the back of the stage is 75, okay, feet. That's how wide the ark was. From that wall to that black wall back there, that curtain or whatever it is that back there, okay, it's that wide, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Noah, 75 feet wide. It was 45 feet tall, 45 feet tall. That's a little taller than what the width of this room is. That's how tall it was. It had three stories on it. And it ran 450 feet long in length. And this thing was built, that's a football field and a half, by the way. This is not some small dinghy that they're floating around in. This is huge. I read about some statistics as far as the size of it. I just got to read this to you. I'll get to that later. Here it is. The equivalent of 1.5 million cubic feet of storage inside the ark. 1.5 million cubic feet. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I've already sat at a railroad crossing and counted as a train went by. You know how long a 100-car train is? You know, it seems like it takes forever for it to get by. There was 520 railroad cars, stock cars. That's about the volume that could carry. 520 railroad cars had room for approximately 50,000 animals, and there were 500 rooms on it. It took 120 years to build. I mean, if I can't finish something in a day or two, I get kind of disgusted and tired of working on it. And that's when I turn it over to my wife, you know, and have her finish. 120 years. And he started when he was 480 years old. So when he got this done and the rain started falling, how old was he? About 600 years. And then he spent the next year, he could relax a little bit then, put his kids to work. That's what I would have done. Delegate. You know, there's one thing a pastor's good at, right? Take care of this, take care of that. Well, he had three sons and you know, three daughters-in-law, and everybody was working. He had a year to take care of things and watch over. Over the top of it was a canopy. And this is talked about Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. If you ever want to read about the flood, that's where it all is. It had a gable end roof on it that came to within 16 inches of the ark itself. Just a little bit of a breather or ventilation outlet there. And with all them animals, I think they need a little ventilation, you know what I'm saying? Okay, and they sat on there for nearly a year. Scripture talks about the fact that it was probably somewhere in the area of 20 feet above the highest mountain. Archaeologists are still trying to figure out how does a sea scallop or whatever get up on top of Mount Everest or not. We have an idea, you know. It's called the flood. And it's just incredible, the size of this thing, how long it took to build and so forth. But I want to zero in on Noah himself. And that's what I want you to think about, not our trip down to Williamstown, which is going to happen, by the way, a week from tomorrow. Then we're out of here. I don't care what happens with the grandkids or my son, daughter-in-law. They're on their own. We're going fishing on the ark. But Noah means rest or comfort. And his father, Lamech, actually said, this son of ours is going to bring comfort to our land and rest. And so we'll name him Noah. And that's what that means. 10th generation after Adam. He was a real standout, though. I mean, in his culture, in that day and age, where he lived, if he lived in Fort Wayne, he would have stood out among everybody else. Why? Scripture lists three things. Number one, he was righteous. Number two, he was blameless. And number three, he walked with God. And those three things, the first two have to do with, you know, doing the right things, saying the right things, talking about the right things, thinking the right things, attitudes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, sin and grace. And he was forgiven, God says, through his deep faith in the coming Messiah, who hadn't even, you know, Moses hadn't yet even written the first five books of the Bible, and Noah already was looking towards the coming Messiah. And as such, God counted it him, we know this from the New Testament, counted it to him as righteousness. And so God's word right here, Genesis chapter 6, which Julie just read, says that Noah was blameless, was righteous, right with God. No sins held between him and the Lord. And then that third thing, he walked with the Lord. And that set him apart from everyone else in the then known world. And God came to him and said, I know this is a little bit out of your comfort zone, Noah, but now I want you to build an ark. And I don't know, had I been Noah, I would have said, what is an ark? And an ark is a barge. It's a barge. Doesn't even have a rudder on it. So it's not like it's going to take you from point A to point B. What is it going to do? Float. That was the one goal of the ark. And he's making it out of gopher wood or cypress wood. Modern, newer translations say that, and for the life of me, I don't know why it says that. The Hebrew says gopher wood, but we don't know what gopher wood is, so who knows, you know. Some kind of wood, and build it to these dimensions. And 480 years old, he gets this message. Build this ark 450 feet long. Why don't you start it on the football field downtown? Might need a little more room than that, but, you know. And build it 75 feet wide, three decks, 500 rooms in there, put a little roof over top of it. And what does Noah say? Absolutely nothing. He just goes to work. What a guy. I mean, who would do that? You'd have to be righteous, blameless, and walking with God to follow those kinds of demands. And God set him about the task. He was 480 years old. 120 years later, he finished. His kids were ancient, too, by then, right? I don't know how old they had been. Well, 120 plus. And then it started raining, but not before. God brought all the animals. They didn't go out with Jack Hanna and search out. You know, let's see, we need one of them spotted-tailed coyotes yet. Where are they? No. God brought all of the animals to the ark. They came on, and when everything was ready, when God was ready, he told Noah and his family, get in. And they got in, and God shut the door, sealed it. And it started to rain. We know what happened. We joke about it. We write little things, you know, 11 things I need to know about life I learned there and whatnot. This is serious stuff. Think about Noah. Think about you and me. Are we righteous? Are we blameless? Take a look at your lives today. And don't we won't pull our chairs in circles, talk about this, just on your own. You know, how are you doing with the righteous and the blameless thing? I can tell you. I can tell you categorically. You're doing great. You're righteous. You're blameless. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's what that means. Righteous means to be right with God. How'd you get that way? Can you get there on your own? No, no can do. Is there any prayer that you can pray, formulate it just perfectly, so that if you utter this prayer, you'll get there? Uh-uh. Is there anything you can do? No, there isn't. A greater man than Noah lived. Never made it. 600 years. 33 years at best. He's born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. Never amounted to much, according to the people around him. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He came here to do something you and I just could not do. We tried, we grunted, we groaned, never could accomplish what he did in one short death. He died for me and for each one of you. He died for the sins of the whole world. Everything was on his shoulders. You ever felt really responsible for something? The last batter in the last inning of the World Series. Not to put any pressure on you, Sam, but if you get a hit, we win. If you don't, we lose. So, you know, no pressure at all. Him, the sins of each and every one of us, even the ones we haven't committed yet, were on his shoulders. When he carried the cross to Calvary, the sacrifice that he made, they're cleansed. We don't deserve this. You know, we really do. Take a look at yourselves. You know, we don't deserve what God has done for us, and yet he does it anyway. Why? For God so loved the world. He loves you and me. It's not our good looks, our good behavior. It's not our dynamic personalities. It's something inside of him which drove him to do that. So Noah, blameless and righteous. So the saints of Southwest Lutheran. That's right. Righteous in God's eyes. Your sins have all been forgiven. Blameless. For what? There's nothing. you know that thing, he walked with the Lord. I really did a lot of praying on this one, thinking about it. And I kept coming back to a prophet in the Old Testament. It was Joshua. Joshua, remember him? He followed Moses and into the promised land. Moses is the other guy, you know. Anybody ever says how many animals did Moses bring on the ark? Answer, he didn't. That was Noah. Well, Moses, the other guy, I don't know how often I felt for that. Pastor, how many? You know, and I actually came up with an answer. And I thought it was pretty smart. I said two of the unclean animals. There could be as many as seven of the clean animals. They said, no, Moses didn't do that. Noah did. But in any case, you know, Moses brought us the Ten Commandments and whatnot, and absolutely there's no way we can do that. But following him, Joshua, and read this section. It was, I remember this very well because it was our wedding sermon text. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Remember that famous passage? Well, just before that, Joshua says, you must choose this day who it is you're going to follow, who it is you're going to walk alongside. Noah was in the presence of a very hostile world. There was no question about it. Yeah, he stood out. He was one that wanted to follow God's precepts in God's ways. And there weren't many around like him. There were seven others. His wife, their three children, and their three wives. They walked with the Lord. They made a decision. You know, as Lutherans, we're always told, and I heard this so many times, I was turning green with it, or blue. We do not believe in decision theology, and that is true. God brings us to faith. He brings us to faith. It isn't something I work at, grunt at, and all of a sudden give birth to faith in Jesus Christ. No, the Holy Spirit brings us that. But after that point, you and I have some huge decisions to make, some real big ones. Who it is that we're going to follow? Who it is that we're going to serve? Noah stood proudly right alongside Joshua and said, as for me and my house, I don't care what you say, we're going to follow the Lord. During those 120 years of building, I think he worked during the day, and in the evenings he had rallies, you know, and stuff. He preached salvation through God alone. Turn from your ways. Turn to the Lord. Nobody would listen. Only him and his family. Walking with God means living in the kind of an environment you and I live in today and have the Christian guts to stand up for what we believe and say no to that which is wrong and yes to that which is right, period. There's no black and white. There's no gray area. It's either obedience or there isn't. When we choose to follow the Lord, that's what it's talking about. Then we can be just like Noah in the Old Testament. Then we can be righteous. We can be blameless. And we can walk with God. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to walk? You're going to walk alongside the world? And as we look around at our world here, not a lot better than it was back then. I got a feeling it's probably about 25, 30 centuries worse than what it was back then. Who are you going to follow? We choose God. We will walk with the Lord. That might not be very popular. Might not get us elected to this or to that position. Might not hold a lot of influence with employers or whatnot. That don't matter. What matters is what God says and what we do in response to what he says. I didn't choose to become a Christian. The Holy Spirit laid that on my heart years ago. Same thing with a lot of you. But every day we wake up, we've got to make some hard decisions as to what we're going to do with our life. God says, build an ark. We'll just say, how long do you want it? You know, what's the dimensions? He might have come up with all kinds of excuses. Moses tried that. Remember Moses? 80 years old. God says, go back to Egypt and lead my people out. Moses said, no, well, let me see. I can't speak. I kind of stutter. I can't do that. Number two, let me see. I'm only 80 years old. I'm too young for that. Or maybe he said the other, you know, the one I've heard already in churches, you know, oh, man, I've been doing this all my life. Now it's time for a younger one to take over. God never asks ages when he asks us to do things. But in any case, you know, respond. And if God says jump, we don't even ask how high. We just start jumping. May God give us the kind of faith and grounding that our brother Noah had. Wow, what a guy. And at that age, I should have taken better care of myself, I know. I shouldn't joke about this. But when you think about the flood, you see a rainbow. Wow, we have so much to be thankful for. Thankful to a God that provides us a means of salvation. For Noah and his family was the ark. For us, it's Jesus Christ. He provides a rainbow to remind us of his love for us. It's magnificent. May God bless all of our days as we serve him and we walk at his side. In his name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace